Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air.
Hey, on today's program, my son, Dr. Zach Clinton, he's joined by a great guest. Let's get started.
Today, we're down here at Celebration Church, Jacksonville, Florida, just about a stone's throw away from Ponte Vedra, hometown of our very special guest, John Gordon. John, something about John that a lot of people maybe don't know about me publicly is that he has really trained me and equipped me. I've been to a lot of his events. I've read countless of his books, and this man has really helped shape and mold the man and the leader that I am today. So I'm incredibly grateful for him. I could read your entire bio, but I will say this, you're humble on your website. Yeah. You say you're top three. I think he's the leading voice on leadership, the leading author, the leader speaker. He's written 32 books, 18 are bestsellers, 5 are children's books, The One Truth, The Power of Positive Leadership, The Power of a Positive Team, his newest, The 7 Commitments of a Great Team, his one coming up in May, The Power of Positive Habits. John Gordon, my friend, thank you for joining
me. Man, Zach, great to see you. And that means the world because what you are doing and the leadership you're displaying is incredible. The student passes the teacher very quickly.
John, let me start out this way. Training camp, your big event's coming up here May 1st. Yep. I'm already signed up for it. Montgomery got me in. I'm like, dude, I am going. Paid the price. Cannot wait to be there. I'll say this. Tons of NFL coaches from Sean McVay with the LA Rams. Mike McDonald won a Super Bowl with the Seahawks just this past year. You have Kevin O'Connell with the Vikings, Liam Cohen with the Jags, tons of NCAA.
Matt LaFleur,
tons of college football coaches and basketball coaches, leaders, Tim Tebow, Tim Timberlake, everybody's in the room. Why is it such an exciting event for leaders to want to flock to?
And Torn Wells is coming just as a guest to be there, to hang out. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah, just to hang out in the room. Like he's bringing his son. It's going to be so great to have him there. It's the kind of event where the audience is business leaders, and then the speakers are these incredible coaches and leaders who have built cultures, who have built great teams, who have incredible stories to share, who are just iconic in their fields. Like Sean McVay is already an iconic coach. Mm-hmm. And I think people want to come and learn from them, but it's also an intimate room. It's only 150 seats. Yep. So these coaches are in the room hanging out. Yep. There's no green room. They're not away. They're in the midst. They're hanging out with everyone. So it's a kind of feel that is very intimate, very energizing. Mm-hmm. Everyone's learning and growing together, and you feel like you're a part of something. It's not like you're watching something. Yes. You're actually engaged and involved with something. Like we might ask you during the event to actually ask a question, but also share.
Yeah.
What are you doing well in the audience? Mm-hmm. What's working for you? Because we know that the audience and the leaders in the audience are just as powerful and insightful as the people on stage. So it's incredible, like a think tank. Wow. A think tank of like all these incredible leaders coming together in one place. Had the vision years ago, wrote the book Training Camp.
Yes.
And I knew I wanted to do an event that really involved business, leadership, sports, and faith. And that's the other part. Last year, these guys did not share their successes. They talked about their brokenness.
Wow.
They talked about their worst moments. Wow. They talked about what they learned when after winning the Super Bowl the following year, Sean talked about how he was really in a place of darkness and how he turned it around after that and how Kevin O'Connell was a huge support for him. Oh. I can't wait to have him, Kevin, Matt LaFleur, Liam Cohen, all work together as part of Sean's tree, all on stage together, sharing insights, like the nitty gritty, the dirty stuff. Like we're gonna learn a lot and hear a lot, and that's what's so cool. Like you got to be in the room to hear it. Yeah, last year Jim Rome, the famous broadcaster, was there, and he goes, "There's something going on here. I don't know what it is. I don't know what this feeling is. I've never felt this before." Wow. He goes, "Matt Rhule is sharing about how he lost his confidence after getting fired from Carolina. Sean McVay was talking about how he was broken after winning the Super Bowl. Because you don't hear these alpha males talk about this. He goes, I don't know what I'm experiencing. I go, Jim, that's the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
Everyone cheered. Whoa! He was feeling the Holy Spirit. Wow. Matthew West was playing music, exactly, performing. He's coming back this year to play music. That's why Torrin Wells, we might have to ask him to do a little cameo with Matthew West. Might be cool.
John, I tell you what, I cannot wait to just be in the room to continue to glean from the wealth of wisdom in that room, but also the wealth of wisdom from you. I've gone to several of your events. I've done the online virtual trainings during COVID, the ones in person in California. You truly, again, are just a gift to the church. And a lot of people view you as like the leadership guru or Mr. Positive, but right, when you talk about brokenness here for a moment, a lot of people may not know your backstory, John, just for a second. I'd love for you to give them just a better understanding. You're no stranger to suffering, and you know, when you look backwards 20, 30 years, could you imagine being where you're at today?
No. Yeah. No. And my teammates can't either. Because my teammates say, I can't believe what you're doing now. Like, you were a mental wreck in college. And now you help all these coaches and athletes and business leaders. It's a miracle. I'm proof that miracles are possible. Yes. And you can actually go from negative to positive, and how faith could change your heart, your soul, and also rewire your brain and your mind. Years ago, my wife threatened to leave me. She said, if you don't change, we are over. And I knew I needed to change. I had just lost my job during the dot-com crash. Yeah. Didn't know how I was gonna pay the bills. Didn't know how I was gonna support my family. I'm crumbling from the inside out. I am fearful, I am negative, I am stressed. I have no relationship with God whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And psychologically, I was broken. And also in my soul, I was definitely fragmented. And I needed healing in a lot of ways. And when my wife gave me that ultimatum, it began a shift in me, a change in me. I said, okay, I want to become more positive. How? I began researching ways I could be more positive. This led me to finding research that said you can't be stressed and thankful at the same time. Yes. If you're feeling blessed, you won't be stressed. Mm. So I began taking these walks of gratitude every single day. And when you take those walks, what is happening? You're flooding your brain and body with these positive emotions that uplift you rather than the stress hormones that slowly drain you. And you do it day in and day out. You create a fertile mind that is ready for great things to happen. And I'm convinced abundance flows into your life when gratitude flows out of your heart. That began a shift in me. Those walks of gratitude turned into walks of prayer. I began praying. And now, over 20 years later, I'm a completely different person based on those walks and those prayers that led me to write The Power of Positive Habits this year to say, what were the habits that I did over the years? What are the habits that will elevate you and your mind and your soul? Like, we have to engage in these habits. Principles inform, but practices transform. Wow. And if you want to change your life, you have to have habits and practices that will change your life. And I believe there are spiritual practices, there are mental practices, there are physical practices that you can do, there are relational practices that you can do that will change you. And so when I look back, it was, okay, God gave me the inspiration. He shifted my spirit. I became a believer at 35 years old. I gave my life to Jesus. I was baptized. Yeah. Obviously, that changed everything for me. Everything. I'm a new creation in Christ, and I no longer live in that condemnation, right? I don't live in that shame and guilt anymore. That's one of my key attributes. It's one of my greatest strengths, is I do not live in the past. I look at the past, I say, I don't like who that person was, but I'm not that person anymore. And I think even too many Christians who are believers still live in their past. They still live in their blame and their shame. And it's okay to say, you know what? I'm not that person anymore. I am a new creation, and God forgives me. I am forgiven, and now I'm moving forward to create a new future.
Wow. I want to chat with you. I had you come and present virtually to our Liberty University football team a couple weeks back, and you crushed it. The guys were so receptive. They were just taking pages of notes. Great the coaching guys. Staff was so blessed because they've read countless of your books, and they absolutely loved it. But awesome. The one thing I wanted to chat with you about, you talked about three commitments. And one thing just up front here, because when we talk about leadership, when we talk about positivity, sometimes these guys are like, you know what, that's a great goal, John, but there's a difference between commitments and goals. Differentiate those two, if you would, for a second.
Everyone has goals, and we become a society that is obsessed with goals.
Yes.
But will your goals take you to where you want to go? Hmm. No, because every team wants to win a Super Bowl.
That's right.
But only one team wins one. Hmm. So your goals will not guarantee your success. Your goals will not take you to where you want to go, but your commitments will. Yes. Commitments are greater than goals. Commitments lead you to your goals. Goals are great, but commitments lead to greatness. Mm. And so tell me what you're committed to. And your commitments will create your future. Yes. Your commitments will create who you become and ultimately what you do as a team. So I believe every team, every individual must have these commitments. They must make these commitments that they truly will commit to become who they want to be and what they want to grow into. And if you're not committed, it's not going to happen. So you have to really focus on those commitments. And one commitment is the commitment to getting better.
Yes.
Like everyone talks about getting better. Yeah. Everybody wants to get better. Mm. But the truly committed ones to getting better, that's who grows. That's who becomes great. And you have to be committed to getting better when you're having success.
Yes.
Because so often when people are having success, they actually stop growing. They become complacent. They become comfortable. That's why John Madden said, winning is a great deodorant. Mm. It covers up what stinks about your team. So there are things that your team is experiencing. There are things that you're experiencing that you may not check on or realize or look at if you're having success. Yeah. You're like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. I don't need to deal with that. No, I'm good. Mm-hmm. But good is average. Good is complacent. I really believe that good whispers to you on your deathbed, you could have been so much better. Mm. You could have been great. But you chose just to be good. Wow. And you have to commit to becoming great. You have to commit, even in the times of success, when things are going well, to get even better. And I realize that I always see that there's another level. Mm. Like Tim Tebow and I played pickleball.
Yeah.
And singles. It was supposed to be doubles. And I go to his house. I go, where are the other two guys? He goes, no, it's just me and you, one-on-one. We're playing singles. Okay, Tim. So now I'm playing singles with Tim Tebow. And he takes off his shirt. He's massive. I think he was trying to intimidate me. And we are now battling. And I'm just not going to tell you the whole story, but we played three games. He won the first two. I'm not a singles player. I missed a bunch of shots. I was winning. I was so angry. I even said fudge one time. I actually said another word. I'm not going to say it here. And then I realized who I cursed in front of. I'm like, you're not allowed to curse in front of God or Tim Tebow. It's not allowed. And I'm like, sorry, Tim. He's like, it's okay. It's okay. So we're battling. I'm very competitive. So we're battling in that third game. After the third game, Tim's doing sprints. Mm. He's doing sprints up and down the pickleball court. And I'm watching him do these sprints. And I realize there's another level.
Yeah.
That competition is now pushing me to another level. So what am I doing now? Sprints. Yeah. Getting ready for a rematch. He's 37. I'm now 55. We're going to have another rematch and we're going to go at it, right? But there's another level. Competition allows you to see the other level. Adversity allows you to see how you can grow and what you need to grow. Adversity is your partner in growth. So always focus on getting better and commit to getting better through the success, through the adversity, and through the competition. And then you take that to another level. And again, it's just nuances on how we see commitments. Mm. But we often hear, give your best, give your best. Yeah. Well, what does that mean? You have to define it for people. And in the book, I define it. Giving your best means that you're not always going to be at 100%. Sometimes you're going to be at 30%, 50%. But you can always give 100% of what you have. And that is truly giving your best. So again, commitments that you can make to elevate you. And I look back at my family, like I really committed to my family. Even though I was gone a lot, on the road speaking a ton, when I was home, I wasn't playing golf. I was committed to them. And now my daughter's a speaker going all around. Yeah,
Jade's crushing it.
She's anointed in that way. It was God's calling for her. Never thought she would do this. So that's another miracle. But here she is doing that. And I believe she's doing it because one, she's had a relationship with me. She saw my commitment to her. And I remember her saying, Dad, I don't remember you gone a lot because I thought I traveled too much. I go, Jade, was I gone too much? She goes, no. I remember you home, Dad. When you were home, you were so engaged. There's a commitment there to be present, to be engaged, and that creates the relationship and the future. And let's tell you what commitment is, by the way. There's so many definitions on there.
Yes.
Commitment is doing the thing that you said you would do when you no longer feel like doing it. Mm. I think it's that simple. Inky Johnson has a great quote on how he talks about commitment. Mine is just basically doing what you said what you would do when you no longer feel like doing it. Because you don't always feel like doing the things that you know you should do, but you have to do it. And when you do that, that builds integrity.
Yes.
And also that builds consistency.
Yes.
Consistency is actually the result of discipline. We often look at, okay, what's consistency? What's discipline? Discipline is doing the things, right, that you know you need to do, and you do them even though you don't feel like doing that. So you have the will to still do that because of your commitment to it.
That's right.
So now you're disciplined. And then consistency is the byproduct of being disciplined over and over again. And then you get consistency. And what drives those? Devotion. Devotion is the key. We live in a world where how many coaches yelled at you? You gotta be disciplined.
Okay.
You gotta be disciplined.
Non-stop.
Right? But they never taught you what discipline is all about
yeah.
and what it means and what consistency is all about. It's about devotion. When you're devoted to something, truly devoted, discipline will be a byproduct of that, and so will consistency. Trying to be disciplined and consistent without devotion, it's like swimming upstream. It's always a chore, right? You don't want to do it. But with devotion, it's a challenge, and you still love doing it. There's a passion for it. No one makes you get up and do all the stuff that you're doing. I know that you are devoted to this and what you do. No one had to make Steph Curry work on his jump shot.
That's right.
No one had to make Tom Brady work on his throwing motion, right? A devotion. So I try to encourage people, what are you devoted to? Your devotion determines your destiny. So what are you devoted to? And if you can really get clear on that and be devoted to it, changes everything. And I'm devoted to God.
Yes.
I'm devoted to my family.
Yes.
And I'm devoted to this work, to making people better, to give my best, to create the best work I can to truly help people get better. And I've got to get better to make people better. I've got to grow and I've got to elevate to help other people elevate. And that's my devotion.
It's powerful. You know, I know we have a few moments left. As I was doing my Bible study this morning on an early flight from Lynchburg to Charlotte, I was reading out of Mark chapter 7. And it was interesting. The disciples were with Jesus, and you talk about the power of connection. And they had just witnessed him feed the 5,000, 12 baskets of overflow. They just actually watched him in Mark chapter 7 feed another 4,000, 7 baskets of overflow. And then they're on a boat and they only have one basket of bread. And the disciples are beginning to worry, like, where are we gonna get our food from? And Jesus literally confronts them. He asks them, like, do your eyes not see? He goes, do your ears not hear? And then he asks them, like, did you already forget a day before what I was capable of? And when I think about worry, it's the, in a sense, withholding or the unwillingness to welcome Jesus in. And when we pray and when we invite him into the midst of our mess, you start to see his power again. John, as we close, just one final word to the weary leader, just a quick statement, because I know you got to run out of here, of just hope, encouragement, and motivation you want to leave him with today.
What you just said is so profound and so true. Jesus calls us to remember. Don't forget. We all know that there's been miracles in our life. What happens is we forget those miracles. If God did it once, he will do it again. And we lose faith on the journey, forgetting what he has done. It happened in the Israelite with the Israelites constantly, and he would bring a miracle about, and then they'd be like, oh, no, 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 and they would complain, and they'd be all negative. And it's like, come on. God would be like, did you not see what I already did? Same thing. We forget. So I believe the key is to remember God's provincial power. Remember his love. Remember what he has already done for you. And even if you feel like life has been challenging, you've faced so much adversity, maybe you feel like God has not been with you. He has. He's been with you in the mess because you're not destroyed. You're still here. He has carried you through those challenges because you're still here. And your job now is to trust in God. So many times it's like, God, show me and I'll trust you. Yeah. No, trust God and he'll show you. And I really believe all of life is really a test of faith. Jesus was constantly calling out his disciples to believe and have faith. God is always calling us to have faith. And then life will show us times when we shouldn't have faith. Mm-hmm. And yet even in those moments, we still need to have faith. We still need to believe. We still need to have hope. We still need to have optimism. And we have to trust in God more than our circumstances. Mm-hmm. You have to truly believe that God can take you through your circumstances and he'll give you strength through it all. And that's real faith. That's real optimism. And that's real belief. So my hope is that people will spend more time in prayer, more time connecting to God, more time trusting in God. I trust in you, Lord. I trust in your plan for my life. Things are not going well, but I trust that you will carry me through this. And you have this faith and you have this belief, and God will deliver on his promises. When I walk and pray, I often say, God, I expect great things to happen. Mm. I trust in your plan for my life. Send me a miracle, God. I am ready for a miracle. God, I want my daughter to meet a man who loves, honors, and adores her. A man like Zach Clinton, God. He's taken, but a man like him. And I pray for that, right? And I pray often. Yeah. Hasn't happened yet. But I believe, and I pray, and I know it's going to take a miracle, and God is actually going to somehow, some way orchestrate something that only he can do, and it's going to be so undeniable that it's him. And I think so often we go through life, 90% of it, what I have found, is hard and difficult and challenging. Yep. So many moments where it looks like God is not there. Just think about the Israelites going towards the Red Sea. Yep. So much it looked like it wasn't going to happen. So much of my life, it didn't look like things were going to happen. And in that last moment, though, that last moment, God's like, I was just messing with you. Here you go. You can part now. I was just messing with you. It turns around. It works out. Somehow it happens. Have you experienced that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, but there's so many times throughout our journey that we are forced to confront our own disbelief, our own lack of faith. And it's all designed to move us towards oneness and wholeness and connection and faith. So, in summary, you can live disconnected or connected. You can live in worry, chronic fear, chronic stress, or you can live in oneness and wholeness, connection, power, courage, and confidence. And that is how you're meant to go through life. You're not meant to go through life fearful and worried. You're meant to go through life with power, not on your own, but connected to God and his power. And as you do, he will give you the power. He will give you the strength to go through everything you're going through, to ultimately overcome, to become the hero that you're meant to be, who impacts the lives of others. Wow. And again, if you're not impacting others, then you're not really a hero. Like, if you're a hero in your own story, but you're not a hero in someone else's story, you're not a hero, you're actually a narcissist. A real hero is a hero, yes, in their own story, because we all should be, but we're changing the lives and impacting the world in a positive way. And that is what God has called us to do.
Wow. John Gordon, every time I sit down with you, my friend, I become a bigger fan and I just leave a better man. So thank you so much for your time today. Where can our audience go to find out more about you, pick up one of your 32 books and pre-order your 33rd, The Power of Positive Habits? Where can they go?
They can go to johngordon.com, johngordon.com, or find me on Instagram at johngordon11. If you listen to this, please reach out to me, DM me and say hello. I love people. I'd love to hear from you. And if I can ever encourage you in any way, yes, reach out to me, and I'd love to encourage you. You'll find me on X, on LinkedIn, all those places, and books are sold throughout bookstores everywhere.
John, you're a blessing. Thank you so much. I love and appreciate you,
thanks,
sir.
Brother. Love you, too.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference, with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas, in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ehlers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.